Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows.
Like a light bulb, John Hansen in for Dave Plyer on this Sunday morning. Without a doubt, you've seen the specials, the holiday specials on TV already popping up this year. Classics from perhaps your childhood or when your kids were growing up, or perhaps for a lot of our audience now, classics from before you were even born. That certainly applies to Bennett and even for a few of those for myself as well. But they're holiday specials that we know nonetheless. Willie McBean and his Magic Machine, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, Santa Claus Coming to Town, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, Frosty the Snowman. Arthur Rankin Jr., along with his friend Jules Bass, produced those specials and a whole bunch more, like all of them. He passed away nearly 2 years ago, but author historian Rick Goldschmidt is going to join us now. He wrote a softcover book in 2014. There's a new hardcover one out now with a bunch of new stuff. But first of all, Rick, we'll get to the book in a little bit, but thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me, John.
Rick, I got to ask, and this is the first curiosity I have is, how did you get so hooked on this work and then become so knowledgeable about it?
Well, it really started when I was in college. I got a degree at Columbia College in Chicago in illustration, and I loved the work of Jack Davis and Paul Coker Jr. right out of Mad Magazine. And my style was a lot like Jack Davis's, and I knew he designed Mad Monster Party for Rankin Bass, and I knew Paul Coker did Frosty the Snowman and Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I grew up on the shows. So I was familiar with them, and I said, whatever happened to Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass? You don't hear anything about them anymore. And they said, well, we're still doing work for him. So I said, give me Arthur's number. And I called him up and said, I want to do a book. And at first he didn't believe me, so I had to prove myself. But after that happened, it just kind of snowballed into everything else.
Do you think that, you know, when you say he didn't know if you were, you know, kind of being serious, if he really wanted to do it, was it a matter of he, you know, he did this work and this was, you know, obviously what he did for a living. Maybe he didn't realize the cultural significance of it or didn't realize that people maybe cared as much or didn't know that there were people like you and plenty others who this is such a big part of their childhood. Was that a little bit like almost a little humble?
Well, the way he described it, he said that he got a lot of phone calls before he heard from me where people wanted things. They wanted Rudolph puppets and they wanted all this other stuff. But he never really got a call from someone who was as dedicated as I was to preserving the history, which he kind of let go on the backside because he was always on to the next project. He really didn't care about his past. But I came along and kind of rounded up all of the past and put it in book form. And from there, I did three more books after that.
It's amazing because on a very surface level, it's like, okay, yeah, there's these short Christmas specials and yeah, everyone knows about them. How do you get three books out of that? Or was it a matter when you started digging in, you had so much stuff you didn't know what to do with it?
Well, I started talking to all the people that actually made the shows, like Maury Laws and Don Duga, Jack Davis, Paul Coker, even Jules Bass and Arthur. And I started realizing that they really did so much. Their body of work is on the level of Hanna-Barbera and Walt Disney. You know, they did The Hobbit. They did the Jackson 5 show. Thundercats, the Osmonds, the Bermuda Depths. There's so many different things that they did that have significance in people's lives that the story really needed to be told in book. And we're also going to do a documentary film on them as well.
How do the holiday specials come about? Because I imagine he didn't set out, and correct me if I'm wrong, saying, I want to make a bunch of holiday specials.
No, what happened was he went to Japan, Arthur Rankin did, in the late 50s and discovered the stop-motion process that he and Jules called Animagic. And they syndicated two series that appeared actually in Chicago television on the Garfield Goose Show and Ray Rayner, The New Adventures of Pinocchio and The Tales of the Wizard of Oz. And neither one of those was all that successful. And Arthur Rankin talked one of his neighbors, Johnny Marks, who wrote the song Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, into doing a television special. And they didn't know how significant it would be. They just took a chance and got the General Electric Company to sponsor it. And it was huge right off the bat and kind of opened up all the doors that they were hoping would open, because they wanted to go into feature films. They wanted to go into series on Saturday morning. They wanted to do a lot of different things, and Rudolph was kind of their key to that door.
So like when actors and actresses talk about getting typecasted and the fear of it, but also the benefit that comes along with getting a big role, even if you are typecasted, that might have been, you know, that kind of applies to producers as well, that although that became kind of the thing that they did, it also opened a lot of doors for them.
Right, and it really helped financially, because the first two series, they had to get loans and actually borrow from friends to get produced. But when General Electric sponsored Rudolph, General Electric decided to start an entertainment division called Tomorrow Entertainment, and they financed all the Rankin-Bass specials all the way into the 80s.
If anyone has a question, by the way, about any of these specials, you've got the historian, the official historian here, Rick Goldschmidt. You can call us 312-981-7200 or send us a text as well. I imagine there's people out there that have been watching these specials their entire lives. It's a huge part of their holiday season. I got to ask, and we'll take a break in a moment, but I got to ask, you know, in this day and age, Rick, when we can look up things on YouTube and we get that instant satisfaction, it's almost hard to remember a time when, you know, you couldn't even tape the show, like on VHS. Like, you got to see it once, and then that was why. Do you think that that's why it became such a cultural phenomenon? It was like a gather around the TV event?
Yeah, I do. It really was for the whole family, too. It wasn't just for kids. The way that Romeo Muller, the writer of the specials, wrote was to the entire family. And that's why it resonates so much. He always has these underdog characters that don't quite fit in. And by the end of the special, they fit in, and even the villains reform, like the Winter Warlock and, you know, a whole host of villains. So it was clever writing. And it was an event for the entire family, not just the kids.
We're going to talk more, Rick, in just a little bit. You can hang on for through the break, right?
Sure.
All right, more with Rick Goldschmidt and all these holiday specials coming up on 720 WGN.
You can feel them in your toes, a shiver and a tear.
John Hanson here on 720 WGN, in for Dave Plyer, and we're talking to Rick Goldschmidt, who is an author and historian of Arthur Rankin Jr. It's hard to say author and Arthur in within a few words of each other, Rick, which is probably why I keep on slipping up on it. So we're talking about Arthur Rankin Jr., who was the producer of so many of the holiday specials, Frosty the Snowman, Twas the Night Before Christmas, and I mentioned those two, Rick, because actually, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and I remember, I couldn't believe that he had done all of the, I had no idea that it was the same person. Rudolph wasn't my, I've seen this special, of course. And do you think that that adjustment to doing not only the Animagic, as you talked about, but then also doing the cartoons, I mean, he was very well balanced in the many different ways he'd tell these stories.
Yeah, the cell animation look, what he was going for there was sort of a Christmas card look. And Paul Coker Jr., who I just appeared with in Dallas with Patrick Owsley, his art was used in Hallmark greeting cards. He's right out of Mad Magazine, but he also did these Hallmark greeting cards for years. So Arthur Rankin wanted to create television specials like Frosty and 'Twas the Night Before Christmas that had that Christmas card look to it. And that's why he also did the lettering in the credits and on the buildings and so forth.
So the animagic that goes into the Rudolph classic that we all know so well was probably, you know, obviously he discovered it or went to Japan and saw it, you know, very groundbreaking at the time, right?
Yeah, not only the style, you know, today they do CGI for everything,
mm-hmm.
and that's not the answer to everything. And it wasn't just the stop-motion style that they pioneered. It was also the fact that they brought characterization to these puppets by getting great stars like Fred Astaire and Burl Ives and Boris Karloff and, you know, all these great vintage movie actors to voice the characters and really bring them to life, so much so that you don't really think of them as puppets. You think of them as real characters.
Yeah, and even in, like, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas, a film, I think we wore down the VHS. We watched that so many times as children. Like, Joel Grey was in it. And as a kid, I don't care, but I imagine that is what made it appealing to adults as well.
Oh, yeah, and George Gobel. I just watched that one. I really like that.
You know what's funny is these, you know, I haven't seen the Frosty one or the 'Twas the Night Before Christmas one or the Rudolph one. You know, I haven't sat down and actually watched it front to back in a long time. But when I was reading on Wikipedia the storylines of these, it all comes back so quickly. It's ingrained in you.
Yeah, it really has become a part of many people's holiday. It's as much a part as putting up the Christmas tree.
Yeah.
They really have such a satisfying story to them. And Romeo Muller, the writer, he really knew how to write. And even the designer, Paul Coker, when he would get the script, it would be very easy for him to come up with the characters because they were so well written. And they don't really write like that anymore with that quality.
I saw a special, ABC7 did a story. They went out to your house, Frank Matthew went out there, and I was watching that. And I couldn't believe the amount of stuff you have in your home. Here in the Chicago suburbs, related to this stuff, is it Rudolph all the time, or you know, is it seasonal, or do you ever get out of the Christmas spirit?
No, I have a lot of different collections, but part of my collection, my Christmas collection, is at the Louisville Slugger Bat Museum in Louisville, Kentucky, through the holidays this year, and the reason for that is Willie Mays did a Rankin Bass special. He did an ABC Saturday Superstar movie called Willie Mays and the Say Hey Kid. So they kind of tied it into Willie Mays, and then they always do a Christmas exhibit. So they took part of my collection down there.
When people see your collection, and you can see Rick actually on Saturday, this upcoming Saturday in North Aurora at Scott's Vintage Antiques and Collectibles from noon to 5, I mean, do people come up to you? I mean, I imagine some people approach and they don't really know exactly what it is, and you can give them the history. But I imagine a lot of people's kind of their eyes widen as they approach.
Yeah, I have quite a bit of vintage collectibles. And I just, as an artist, I love visual things. So Rankin Bass fits right into that.
Yeah, absolutely. So the new book is, or the hardcover version, has some new stuff. And there's that, you mentioned the Japan connection. There's some of that stuff. Is it that stuff that's in the book, the new stuff?
Yeah. Actually, right after Arthur passed away, the same weekend, we found his scrapbook in Japan that he kept when he first started in the business. It had his first business card in there. Pictures of him on the set of The New Adventures of Pinocchio, and a whole bunch of cool things. It was like he sent it to me that weekend that he passed away. So we put a book together, Wes Garlitz and I, and we also added in all of the things from Bermuda, because I went to what would have been his 90th birthday with my fiance Denise, and we met all of his friends and family, and Ross Perot was even at the memorial. I had to give a speech right in front of Ross Perot. So it was an interesting visit. Arthur directed Michael Douglas's mother in a play in Bermuda, and Michael Douglas was at the theater every night. So it's got quite an interesting entertainment group down there in Bermuda.
How many times have you seen Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer?
I don't know. Probably about 50 times, but
that's less than I thought.
All the way through. I'm usually working on stuff, signing books and drawing in them.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And did you have a good relationship with Arthur? I mean, did you guys chat back and forth a lot, or was
He was like my my second father. He really supported everything that I did, helped me. We worked on projects together. I even helped him. Warner Brothers didn't pay him for royalties on Thundercats. So he had me write an article to expose that problem, and then they settled with him during all that. So, I mean, we were good friends. And I also became friends with his son, Todd, at the memorial, and then he passed away October.
Oh, no.
Which was sad.
Yeah, that's too bad.
He was only like 61.
Wow. Well, I imagine it's a tribute to Arthur's work that you can keep on doing this, keep, you know, the legacy going. And I imagine that's part of it for you, too. I mean, he's brought so many people such joy that it's almost nice to put a face and a name to the person that has brought that much.
Right. That's why we're doing this documentary film. We're going to launch it on Kickstarter today. The story really needs to be told. They were significant in the field of entertainment, more so than people know. And I just want to make sure that all the people behind the specials, like Arthur Rankin and Jules Bass and Maury Laws, all these people get their story told, because these things didn't last 50-plus years on television just because, you know, they're fun. There was a lot of quality that went in before the name went on it.
Where can people go to purchase the book?
Miserbros.com. That's MISERBROS, just like the Heap Miser and Snow Miser.
Rick, it was fascinating to hear about all this stuff that I never really knew about. I'm sure a lot of our listeners didn't either. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, John. Merry Christmas.
Yeah, Merry Christmas and a happy holiday to you as well, Rick.